WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It was 21 years ago that music played and was headed to a match on Monday Night Raw. Did it happen? We'll tell you. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. The Raw After Mania. If you have that Amazon Prime, you can use it here. Just click that purple rectangular button below the screen to support the channel. You can use Carrico Rock and Sock, where Lindsay and Ward doing a $4.99 shop. Hashtag Epic Partners. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin'. That's Lindsay Ward. It's a weird show. It's a weird, weird show. And she's talking, if maybe, but she's muted this entire time.
I'm so sorry, I'm muted for the music. Anyway, this was a weird show. This was a very weird show. That's what I was saying. I think it was having a bit of an identity crisis.
They're that awkward teenager growing a mustache, trying to figure it out.
Evil Walt. Anyway, I'm going to call him that now. That's officially what I'm going to call him. Evil Walt. If you know what I'm talking about, then you're good. Anyway, I think there was some appeasement going on. Obviously, there has been massive WWE news announced today, which includes the sale, or not rather sale, but merger of WWE and UFC with Endeavor. This includes Vince McMahon retaining a certain level of power within the company, and it also officially came out, which is something that I think we've known for a while, that Vince does have some level of input into creative. What a high level of input is, we have no idea, but we could see his fingerprints all over this show tonight. I don't think it was exactly welcome that his fingerprints were all over the show, but here we are.
What they were, we don't know. There were a couple things. So, a couple of things were supposed to happen on the show, and things got changed around. It's not like what we saw at the close wasn't what the plan was. That's the thing. The big creative moments were still the big creative moments on the show, including when Rey Mysterio took on Austin Theory. Rey Mysterio lost to Austin Theory. Dominic and Damian Priest were at ringside. They just had some distractions, interference, whatnot. And then they got involved with Bad Bunny, who was sitting ringside watching as a fan. Bad Bunny punched Dominic Mysterio. Damian Priest then yanked him over. He punched Bad Bunny again. And then Damian Priest chokeslammed Bad Bunny through the announce table. That, which is a great angle, was already planned.
Number one, Dominic, why would you screw with Bad Bunny? He's more streakhead than you. Yeah, stuff like that. But, I mean, there's just some other sign. The whole Almas Elias thing. some of the other things that happen that we all are knowing that it's Vince, possibly. However, I want to start talk about the start of the show.
Let's go with Bad Bunny first. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
That's why I went to it. They're clearly setting up a tag match of some sort, whether it's a six-man, like we talked about Thursday, or just a traditional tag of Bad Bunny and Ray against Damian and Dominic. That's not a bad idea. And I thought, and Bad Bunny, because they worked on that a few weeks ago, apparently, him practicing some stuff with Damian Priest, who mentioned the backstage afterwards, well, Bad Bunny, well, he's lucky that they're friends, because it could have ended worse.
I like that they had that callback.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they did the callback. But, yeah, no, this is how you can kind of tell Hunter's still somewhat in charge, is that they did the setup for this, that they're going ahead and setting up Backlash, they're setting up matches for the future, next week, that there's still a very clear defined direction of what's going on the show and coming out of WrestleMania, especially with the either completion or continuation of specific storylines. It is interesting that they're moving Dominic away from Rhea now that she's the champion, and they're moving him back more towards Damian Priest, and having him work with Damian Priest in the Judgment Day as opposed to being with Mommy. So I have to wonder how much of that is going to be around, but Mommy had her own job to do tonight. But I like this. I thought this was good. Like, Damian trying not to get involved, but having to get involved because, well, Dominic and Bad Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Dominic went for Bad Bunny, and then, like, Bunny just, like, ended his whole world. And Dominic just lay there like, "Did you just freaking hit me?" And Damian's like, "Ah, shit. All right, hold on."
You mentioned... You go ahead.
But the table spot was good.
It was a really good spot. Separated shoulder is the medical analysis for Bad Bunny coming out of this. We'll see how separated it is as we get closer to Backlash. You mentioned... Go ahead.
It's a good excuse not to have him there next week.
Yeah. You mentioned Rhea Ripley. She interrupted Bianca Belair, who came out at first, talking about how we all did it. She three-peated at WrestleMania. It was the toughest part and one of the toughest people she could be in the ring with. This brought out Rhea Ripley. Bianca calls herself the EST, but she really just the luckiest woman in WWE because she challenged Charlotte instead of Rhea. Rhea then promised that she would get back to it and she would beat Belair like she beat Flair at WrestleMania. Bianca was upset that she said she was the luckiest because you made the choice for a reason. She's all about getting in the ring with the best, and one day when Rhea is ready, they'll see who really is the best of the best. That was a nice little tease for what you could do next year.
Hell yeah.
You
go.
Keep them apart for a while, and then you got yourself a big match.
I think it's more the acknowledgement from WWE to the fans that, yes, we heard you. Yes, we saw you. Yes, we know you want this, but
we'll get there.
Not right now.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. We know it's there. We're going to just put it off to the side now. We're gonna just chill it until we're ready to pull it out.
And it seems one of the next contenders for Rhea was Raquel, because Raquel and Liv came to the ring, and Raquel and Rhea had a stare down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But then it set up a number one contenders match, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez taking on Dakota Kai and Io Sky of Damage Control, with Liv and Raquel getting the win.
I guess a little payback for last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, this is fine. This was good. I mean, it didn't really have a lot of oomph to it, because the women's tag last night was what it was.
Yeah.
And so it's here.
It was fine. We had Becky, Trish, and Lita backstage, and they were happy about their win, and Lynch said that she felt like life has been on repeat after fighting Damage Control for the last few months. She said that they get back to her goal of raising the prestige of the tag titles now they're done with Damage Control. Lita and Becky fist bumped it, and Trish sort of just was there, and then Saxton offered one, and well, she wasn't having any of that one either.
Trish is getting shifty.
And no.
Could she maybe be eyeing a turn?
Possibly. No, they did not. The showcase was just a showcase. It was not for anything. LeMans.
Yeah.
There were no stakes on the line. Things that happened on this show included Bobby Lashley mauling Mustafa Ali because Lashley and Bronson had a stare down, which, give me that match. That should be really good.
Bobby versus Bronson, yeah.
And then Ali was saying, you should never take no for an answer. And then, you know, Ali started saying no about having a fight, and then Lashley beat his ass.
Poor Mustafa Ali. Can we stop beating him up, please?
The answer is no.
Oh, poor guy.
Omos beat Elias to get Omos back on track.
I don't know, even know what to say about this. Can we get him a bigger hoodie? Please? I said this before, Mania.
Can they?
You just bring it down so it doesn't stop, like, right at his boobs. You just bring it down past his boobs.
But maybe that's how he enjoys it.
He just wants to go tits out?
He wants to go tits out. Yeah.
It looks proportionally weird. I'm sorry, it does. Because he's this giant man in this hoodie that he bends over and they pop it off his head. Like, they just pull it up over his head. To me, it looks like a hoodie that, like, a four-year-old would wear that just doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the best look for him.
In the strangest segment of the night, Seth Rollins was talking to Kathy Kelly, and he was feeling really good, and then came to the ring and just listened to the crowd sing a song, and then he left.
Did they not have anything for Seth to do?
I don't think they had anything for him to do tonight.
So they just had him come out and listen to his song and then leave?
Because he's that over. That's all he needs to do.
Well, he's not the only one that's over.
Oh, there are many, many people that are over, including the new undisputed tag team champions of the world, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who came out and were excited to be there. Props to them, by the way. They won the belts Saturday night. They were part of the main event last night at WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
That show ended, what, 9 o'clock our time? Or 12, midnight our time, 9 o'clock their time?
Something like that, yeah.
They flew back to New York this morning to do the Today Show and back to L.A.
Wow, that's a haul.
Along with Bianca. So Bianca and the Kevin and Sammy flew to New York this morning and back to L.A. A lot of flying in one day.
That is a lot of flying in one day.
But the tag team champions were excited. Sammy talked about it's been a crazy year. Started last year with Johnny Knoxville and then ended with being in a main event of WrestleMania this year. He said it was corny, but he would like to, you know, he thanked everyone, fans. And Zayn said he knows what it's like to celebrate in LA. And Owen said, that's pretty good because I have an idea. Nothing says celebrating like a good fight. And he says Los Angeles likes fighting and feels like the perfect celebration. So they asked anyone in the locker room who wants to make a name for themselves to if they want some, come get. No, there they were. If you want some, there they were. Come fight us. Come celebrate with us. Out came the Street Profits, and they came off their WrestleMania win, and, well, they won a match because they feel like making a name for themselves, and, well, they're going to have a match with Kevin and Sammy. That's what it led to, with Kevin and Sammy getting the win. Pretty good match.
Very good match. I enjoyed this immensely. This was a nice defense for Kevin and Sammy. Good showing for the Profits. We're kind of getting things back on track after the Usos have lost the titles. So now everybody can kind of challenge again. This is good. This will kind of reinvigorate the division. And yeah, overall, I was perfectly fine with this. And to be fair, they're not over. None of them were over in this match at all. No.
So Miz TV with The Miz complaining about Snoop Dogg forcing him matches with Pat McAfee and George Kittle. Shane McMahon, who injured himself.
Poor Shane, get better.
And then being knocked out by Snoop Dogg, and he was tired of surprises. No one is ever going to interrupt him, he's no longer having more surprises until the return of the original bro, Matt Riddle. He came out, says, did you miss me? And then he put the boots to Miz, dropped him with the bow, Derek. Hopefully, Riddle learned his lessons while away.
I will keep my fingers crossed and hope for the best for him in terms of that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of seeing Matt Riddle again, I'm good. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, so it was a nice surprise. But ultimately, Matt Riddle anymore doesn't really do much. So it's like, okay, you're back. Yay.
Gotta get us invested again in him.
Yeah, you gotta bring him around.
So Monday Night Raw opened up with the Chief Content Officer of World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE Hall of Famer, The Game, the King of Kings, Triple H. He said if he wasn't already on a high from this weekend, he is now because the reaction was unbelievable. What a weekend it was. Two nights, 161,000 people, the ultimate spectacle, 40 years in the making, WrestleMania 30, at math. Anyway, he said he's out here to say thank you to the performers who put their bodies on the line every week, the crew, the staff, making it a sold-out arena, and even putting out Stu, the cameraman, which got a Stu chant, which was cool.
And they showed him, yeah, which was cute.
Mm-hmm. Christina, she was trying to shout him out a few weeks ago, but he wasn't feeling well, so he was back, and that was cool. He said, should all the people make it behind the scenes make all this possible? He said that no matter how many times he saw photos or drawings or videos, the set was amazing, which we talked about. And he thanked everyone, the fans, for what they do. He said, on the day that they dominated news and all the water cooler talk, WWE made an announcement that everyone wants to talk about. I am here to ensure you that we ain't going nowhere. Because we are WWE, and just like it says in the beginning, then, now, forever, and together. Then, now, together, and forever. So we'll stop with the Hunter stuff first. Cool to see Hunter. He gave the rah-rah speech to everyone to calm everyone's fears and everyone at home. We're good. Everything's fine. Don't look behind the curtain. Everything's fine.
So I'm just going to say this. It's lovely to see Hunter. You've ever been through a corporate merger before? You recognized what this was.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to change. That's what they're telling you. Because that's what happens in corporate mergers, is everything changes, the culture shifts, everything shifts. And while the faces and the names up at the top may stay the same, some other things may change. They might be good. They might be bad. It just depends on how you view it. But yeah, he started in on this and I was like, I've heard this before. I've heard this before twice. I know what this is. This is the, hey, everything's going to be just fine corporate speech before everything literally goes to hell. So, and it may take a week. It may take a couple months, considering the fact that the sale has just been announced. It has to go through all the filings. It has to go through all the, or it's been filed, but it has to go through all the approval processes and everything else, that we have a long road ahead on it. And they won't start making official changes to the company right away. They can make small things here and there, like Hunter and Vince can kind of make tweaks, but until Endeavor signs the paperwork and Vince hands over the voting shares, they don't get a say. But Vince is for sure back in power. We do know that. Please, dear God, let him shave the mustache. It's awful.
Go ahead.
But we'll see where it goes.
If you want to see things not go the way things went tonight, I would use the hashtags and just sort of go with it, because they pay attention to things that trend and they're going to notice what happened tonight. And Twitter is making sure people there are aware of the mustache and people backstage. We're not happy. Anyway, we'll get to that further at some point down the road. But Hunter wanted everyone to help him acknowledge someone. The tribal chief, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Roman Reigns. So Roman, Paul, and Solo came out. Reigns asked the crowd Hollywood to acknowledge him. Out came Cody Rhodes. Cody goes, I know what I want to talk about. And he goes, today is not turning out a lot different than for me than I anticipated. Especially what all these people anticipated. I thought I would be standing here as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Roman was smiling and shaking his head. Nope, we didn't expect that. Rhodes said Reigns was the better competitor during the main event last night. Cody said he's won a lot of matches where he skated by and he was the victor, but that wasn't the case this time. Last night I had you. And it boiled down to one thing, and the crowd started chanting, rematch. Rematch, said Cody. Reigns was like, yeah, what are you talking about, son? And him and Heyman share a look, and Heyman wants to talk. I was thinking on behalf of my tribal chief, where exactly would you like this hypothetical rematch? Cody said, tonight. Heyman's like, no rematch. Not tonight, not in Puerto Rico, not at SummerSlam, not at Survivor Series, not at Royal Rumble, not at Madison Square Garden. Heyman said, that's what you call calling shots because you live on the island of relevancy. Cody wasn't in a normal mood. Cody said he knows exactly how tough Reigns is. Cody said he should at least, let's have a tag match. Let's do something right now. Especially with that guy standing right there next to him. Heyman and Reigns have a talk. Heyman said he's been authorized by the tribal chief that his challenge was accepted with two parameters. Heyman said that Cody's partner had to be someone who had wrestled at WrestleMania this weekend. Number two, that whoever teams with Cody Rhodes can no longer face the tribal chief Roman Reigns as long as he is the champion. So who you want to talk about now, Cody? And out came Brock Lesnar. Lesnar was smiling and happy and all the things, and it's gonna be Cody and Roman, or Cody and Brock against Solo and Roman, as the match has been made official.
Okay, show of hands, who actually believed that Brock was gonna wrestle?
No one.
Show of hands.
No one.
Really?
No one. But we'll tell you why he didn't here in a minute.
I mean, to break down the promo, the setup of it was good. The promo was good. It's a nice recovery for Cody coming out of WrestleMania. It's the adversity that Cody needs coming out of Mania to fight back. Because they've been dropping some hints about why Cody maybe didn't win. And Brock and I were talking about this before the show, which is that what's the one thing that WWE is always meeting for? Especially by a certain folks in another company, which is you go away, you reinvent yourself, you come back, you either win the Rumble or they just hand you the title, LOL, person wins, right? That's what happens in WWE. You leave, you come back, you get the title. So what did Cody do? He left. He came back. He won the Royal Rumble. He was in line for the title. So they did the unpredictable thing. They had Cody lose. They weren't just going to hand Cody the title. Despite all the hard work he's done in the past, in their eyes, he still needs to do more to win it. How do you make someone? How do you make an underdog? How do you do all that? You have them face adversity. Here's your beginning of Cody's adversity, because that's the one thing he really kind of didn't face coming into WrestleMania, right? Because he had the guaranteed shot. He didn't necessarily have to do much beyond win the Royal Rumble, which is a feat in and of itself, to earn it.
So now...
And he kind of got...
Go ahead.
And he had to sit on the sidelines while Sammy got his. And we all know what Sammy went through to get his. So now, Cody Rhodes has to walk through the fire if he wants the title.
And what the fire is, we'll tell you in a second. But we went backstage. The Usos were trying to get word with the tribal chief, and Heyman intercepted, basically said, yeah, Roman and Solo are out back talking. You guys go to the plane, eat the caviar or whatever. You know, that's good. Just do the thing. Go to the plane. And then Heyman, they leave, and Heyman goes back in the office, and basically, you know, yeah, I got rid of them, or something to that effect, is what he said. And then Roman made sure to question Heyman. Are my cousins gone? Yeah, my tribal chief. And then he asked Paul if he knew if Brock was going to be here. Brock usually fucks off after, you know, the day after WrestleMania. He's not normally here. He takes 6 to 9 months and leaves everyone hanging. Heyman said that's the life Reigns rescued him from, and that's why he loves him. Heyman said Lesnar could never challenge Reigns again, but he has nothing to lose. And Reigns said one of his greatest accolades of all time is smashing Brock Lesnar. He'll do it again. He'll smash Cody again tonight. And then let Solo take over. Good little setup for what's going to happen next with the Usos and the Bloodline. A little teasing.
A little dissension, a little disappointment, a little friction in the Bloodline. Oh, I love this. I love this so much because the storytelling is continuing and we're going to start to see the cracks, right? Because Jimmy and Jay, when they got sent away, knew what was up. They knew. You could see it written on their damn faces. They knew. Especially Jay. He knew. Like, the real subtle reaction, acting, facial expressions of Jay were just perfect. They know. They know what's going on. They've fallen out of favor. They lost to Kevin and Sammy. They no longer have the tag titles. Now it's all on Roman to carry the power, right? It's always been on Roman. And so the Usos are sent away. And who is the favorite child? Solo Sikoa. And how long will it take Solo before potentially Solo fails? Like, what we're seeing is we're seeing the beginning of the end of the Bloodline.
Oh, it's gonna be so good!
And then we got to the main event match. For the first time in 21 years, Brock Lesnar is going to have a match on Monday Night Raw. The last person he fought on Monday Night Raw, do you have any idea?
It's been 20 years?
21 years.
21 years. So that's what, 2002.
Two. Who did Brock Lesnar, the up-and-coming Brock Lesnar, fight on Monday Night Raw?
Bobby Lashley?
No, Lashley was not around at that time. Lashley came a few years later. It was one innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer.
I didn't even think about him.
It's been that long. It was Tommy Effin Dreamer. It's been since 2006 where he had a tag match in Japan, teaming with, I think he was teaming with Shinsuke Nakamura. That's the last time he had a tag team match. So we do the big grand introductions. Roman and Solo get theirs, and then Cody gets his, and Brock gets his, and then Brock attacks Cody. Drops him with an F5, and just beats his ass from pillar to post, through an announce table with an F5, an F5 on the steel steps. Cody got his ass whooped by the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar.
Another show of hands, who's shocked? Is anybody surprised? Did anybody think Brock Lesnar was going to wrestle?
You have to pay money to see Brock wrestle, and it's like, all right, is it really going to be a thing? Because they did it a couple years ago with Brock going to have a title match on Raw, right? He's going to defend the title, and it didn't happen. It just became a beatdown angle. We got the beatdown angle here. Interesting to see where it goes, because now Cody's biggest roadblock is no longer happy-go-lucky Brock. We got the beast incarnate back.
And we're all here for it. I thought this was... Go ahead.
The question is, why is the beast incarnate back and not Cowboy Brock? Why now? Why Cody? Very interesting questions moving forward.
Because Cody's the new favorite child. I thought this was excellent. I thought this was well done. In truth, why not Cowboy Brock? Honestly, we all love Cowboy Brock, but Cowboy Brock has not been that successful. He's, you know, kind of, sort of been wishy-washy, and maybe the Beast Incarnate needs to come back for Brock Lesnar to be a bit more dominant. Also, you know, Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble, took Brock's title opportunity from him. And I'm sure Brock will have some beef with Cody from something from the past, because they would have been in the company.
Yeah, they were.
They would have been together, so I'm sure there's something from Cody's past involving Brock that we don't remember, we don't know about, or they'll tell us.
I don't think they ever crossed paths, but they were in the company at the same points.
I'm sure Brock can come up with something, or they'll come up with something. But it is a good way to, again, do hashtag adversity with Cody. It is a good way to use Brock, right? Because if Cody can beat Brock, then that shows that he's quote-unquote ready for Roman, because that's been Roman's whole thing, was that, well, Cody wasn't ready. Even though he took Roman to school last night, Cody wasn't ready. So I am curious to see what they do with this and where this goes, because I think this will do wonders for Cody. Not that he needs a lot of it, because he's already over as fuck, because we all know Cody. But this just adds a little bit more credibility to him. This makes him tougher. This makes him braver. This makes him stronger. He's distracted. He's got to deal with Brock Lesnar. He can't go for Roman until he deals with Brock, because Brock is going to screw him over if he tries to go for Roman. So you know what? You got to deal with the beast before you can deal with the tribal chief. That's just how it is sometimes. I don't want to say it's not great, because I actually did like this, and I am curious to see where it goes, but I would encourage people to give it a chance. Let's at least see. Like, I know a lot of people were pissed about last night. I know a lot of people canceled their Cox last night. So I don't know if that's the exact right reaction. Like, I get people were upset, but it's like, let's give this a shot. Let's see where this goes, because obviously there is a plan. There's very clearly a plan. Let's see where it goes.
Interesting thought. The logical choice would be Cody feud with Solo at some point. But they're moving the bloodline to do something else. This is a way to separate Cody from the bloodline for... We're taking a detour before we get back on the highway to have them meet. Because it's very clear that they're not going back to Cody Roman at Backlash. So you gotta go somewhere else first.
Yeah, like... I like the fact that the one thing they didn't do was Cody comes out and he's like, oh, you screwed me. I want a rematch. I want to fight you again. I want to fight you at Backlash. And Roman's like, all right. And it's just the return from WrestleMania. There are some similarities to WrestleMania so far going on to Backlash. But right now it seems like there's going to be some changes, that they're ending the feud with Cody, and they're like, they're going to move Roman on. Like, okay, all right, you made your bid, you got screwed, but you lost. There's no reason to do the rematch right now. It's get to the back of the line, because they took away that rematch clause. So it's like, get to the back of the line, earn your spot. And I kind of like that it's like, no, we're just not going to do rematch after rematch after rematch until Cody wins the title. We're going to make it mean something when it happens. Whether it's a month from now, whether it's 6 months from now, whether it's a year from now, They're going to make sure that when Cody wins the title, it really means something. It's incredibly important. And I respect that. Did we all want it to happen last night? Sure. Everybody did. But at the same time, I'd rather him face the adversity, face all the odds, and come up the ultimate underdog and win the title and rip it out of Roman's hands. I actually want it to be Bray, but he's
that's
not around.
That's besides the point.
So,
but
if I have to take Cody, I will take Cody.
I'll leave it at this. Remember what happened on Monday Night Raw a month ago? When John Cena and Cody Rhodes hugged it out?
Mm-hmm.
Passing of the torch?
Mm-hmm.
We just saw John Cena get beat by Brock Lesnar in the main event of Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
Top babyface, Cody Rhodes. Gotta go overcome the obstacles. We'll see where it goes. We will need see where it goes. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This Thursday night, the last rack. Till May 4th.
That's right. Tune in. We are going to be talking about WrestleMania Night 2. You want to hear all the stuff from Night 1, check out wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive, or rackradioshow.com. It's there for your listening pleasure. But we will be live on all those aforementioned channels this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all about WrestleMania Night 2. So it's the Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, Fortnite with Friends, followed by CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. I wonder what they're talking about. 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link, to Twitch account, call Prime Gaming, support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why? Because
we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LANSWARD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/LinzWard. You can check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@LinzWard, Linz Ward on YouTube, or just go to linzward.rockradioshow.com. Like, subscribe, ring the bell, do all the things, because I'm going away for 16 days, so please do the thing. I would appreciate it.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always at mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rock, and right back here every Monday for the Raw Post Show, live across the airwaves with the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wild Talk Radio.